everybody, Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs every, well, what is it now? It airs every Friday for this week and for next week, but then after that, it's going to air every Sunday night from 9 until 10, so I hope that you will have gotten the habit and will come with me to Sunday night, and you'll hear more of the same, only longer. But at any rate, last week we did Fathers, so this week I'm rerunning the Mother's Day special, which was not aired because we were running the Stan Freberg shows. So you'll hear from David Brenner, Bill Cosby, a really nice long piece of really prime Bill Cosby, Robert Klein, Mike Nichols and Elaine May in a classic piece on the subject of motherhood, and Tom Lehrer from the new CD that just came out. All three of his albums have come out on CDs and are highly recommended from me. So at any rate, without any further ado, going out to all the mothers out there, without whom, where would we be? Let's get started with David Brenner.
I think mothers are weirder than fathers, don't you think so? Oh yeah, especially when it comes to children, how they treat a child. What is the difference between a mother and a child and the treatment of a child, a mother and a father? When it comes to the children, how they treat them? Like mothers are so different. Like mothers, like why are you always angry? Right, you're always angry. Sometimes you even wake up angry. Good morning! How do I do? Right? And then they walk around the house all day, angry, angry, I'm angry. I'm angry, that's right, I'm angry. You want to know what I am? I'm angry, that's what I am. I'm angry. And you ever notice when your mother gets angry and she yells at you, you can't understand what she's saying? What's a Benny Wall Wall? Did I break her Benny Wall Wall? I don't even know what a Benny Wall Wall is. Can't understand them, or else they get lockjaw. You understand that? And even have a little dance they do with it. Mothers love to dance. Fathers never dance. Oh. Fathers make you do all the dancing. Oh, no, come on, no, no, duck, duck, duck. Ah, duck! Duck! Who started the expression duck? Someone had to be the first to use it. When it first started, not everyone knew what it meant, right? Duck, what? Ah! The hell are you yelling duck for? Why didn't you yell pig or moose? Next time, you better throw a damn duck! Oh, my father kept me ducking. He was old, but deadly. He was a scared of hell out of me, just with his threats. He never hit me, but his threats were frightening. He had the best threats of anyone. He'd say things like, did David say that? He did, huh? Come here, David, I'm gonna pull off your lips. I don't have any lips. You were too old when you made me, didn't come out. Come on, duck, duck, come on. Oh, there's another difference. A father never goes after you. He's the king of the mountain. He always makes you come to him. Come on over here, BB Brain. Let's go, I'm gonna bash in that dumb head of yours. Let's go over here. And we are dumb when we're children. We always go. Why the hell do we go? Where do you want me, Dad? Over here, over here? Okay, go ahead, bash it. Hurry up, I got a stickball game. Why do we go? He's not gonna come after us. You mothers come after us. Oh, I like Sherman tanks. Where do I get my hands on you? I'm gonna kill you, then you're going to bed early. Can you kill me and let me stay up late? My mothers are always saying dumb things when they get angry. Did you ever notice that? Some of the things my mother said, oh, she used to confuse me with the things she'd say when she was angry. Things like, David, I only have two hands. I was afraid to look at other kids' mothers. Right? Don't mothers say dumb things? Like, you ever have your mother scream at you for 15 minutes and then she says, do you hear me? Mom, they hear you in Guam. Yeah, my mother used to give me things. Oh, and did your mother ever say this one to you? One day, you may not believe this, but one day, you're gonna thank me for this. Did you ever thank her for any of it? Hey, Mom, I forgot to tell you. Remember when I was 6? Thanks for beating the crap out of me. I really wanted to thank you. I forgot to thank you. What did you... And where the hell has kingdom come? My father promised he'd send me there 1,000 times. Yeah, mothers say dumb things, or they ask you dumb things when they get angry. The dumbest questions in the world, like, do you want your mouth washed out with soap? Do you? And they keep repeating it. Do you want your mouth washed out with soap? Do you? And you keep hanging in there, hoping the next question is, or do you want to go to a movie? Yeah, mothers, oh, when they get angry. You know why they get so dumb like that? Because when they get angry, they go off. No, they do, and I'll tell you why they go off. I've always known this. See, when your father gets angry, he collects the anger for a week or two. Right? He lets it fester in there. He just lets it boil in there. Blub, blub. He's like an old kettle, your father. Blub, blub, blub. Blub, 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 blub. Blub, 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 blub. But your mother, because women are more honest with all their emotions, when they get angry, they just explode. Ah! And they exhale too much air. There's no oxygen for the brain. They go off. Of course, come on. How else do you explain when a mother gets very, very angry? Do you ever know she gets very forgetful? Who do you think you are?
Let me give you an example of what I call the same thing happens every night. It's supper time. Do you have children? 2. Okay. That qualifies. Because a person with one child, I don't call them really a parent. Because there are too many things left out. For instance, if something's broken in the house, you have one child, you know who did it. See, you don't have to go through. You know the child did it. Also, people with one child do not have to go through, will you stop touching me? I mean, if you got one child and the child's doing that, then you got to take it away, you know. Now, the same thing happens every night. We have 5 children. They sit in the center. My wife is at this end, I'm at this end. Now, my wife looks the situation over, and she can tell when the children are not going to eat anymore. See, she can tell. They've fooled around long enough. All right, now, you fooled around long enough. Everybody get up from the table. My wife says this every night. Everybody get up from the table, go upstairs, take off all your clothes, get into the shower. Please turn on the water. You have to tell them to do that. Because if you don't, they'll just wander around the tub. And then get out and get in the bed. Please use soap. That's mostly for my son. Rinse yourselves off. Dry yourselves off, put on clean pajamas, get into the bed, and now if these brain-damaged children would do that, there would be no beatings. But there's going to be a beating tonight. And the children get up to go upstairs, and I kiss them goodnight, and I try to warn them, please. Do what your mother says, or somebody's gonna get it tonight. And the children kiss me and they pat me on my head. And they smile and look at me as if to say, dear man, thank you for your kindness and your wonderful attitude about this whole situation. But you don't understand. We cannot sleep through the night unless we've had a good meeting. And so they go upstairs, and I can tell they're gonna get it because they've started already before they even get upstairs. Will you stop touching me? And you're touching me, you stop touching me, you're touching me, you're touching me. Mine, mine, mine. Now they get upstairs, and all you hear is. Now my wife talks to the ceiling. All right up there. I know you don't want me to come up there. I don't hear any water running. Now downstairs comes our 7-year-old, the informer. This is the same child that my wife sends with me whenever I'm going out somewhere. The informer's favorite words are, guess what? Mom, guess what? And it's put me in on the behind with the towel, so I said, and someone tell Mom, or you. Go upstairs and tell him I said not to do it again and take your clothes off. Okay, but I know he's just gonna pop me in the behind again because he's always popping people. 4 minutes later, downstairs comes the 4-year-old. She is naked and wet. Shampoo in her hair has run into her eye. She's running in place and yelling. Walking with her, also naked and wet, with a smile on her face, is the informer. See, Mom, I told you. And it took him pour water on the baby and the shampoo run into her eye and she may be blinded for life. Now my son, who is 11 years old, comes downstairs. He has on his pajamas. They are stuck to his body because he forgot to dry himself. Mom, I'm trying to take a shower upstairs, and so then they come in the shower. I told them I'm too grown for them to be showering with me. I don't want them. The baby turns and kicks him. The 7-year-old punches him. He punches the baby. Shoves the 7-year-old. They're fighting. My wife turns around, grabs a yardstick. She holds it like a samurai warrior. She then makes an announcement that the meetings will now begin by saying, I have had enough of this. Now these 3 brain damaged people have the nerve to look surprised. My wife says, shh. Children run everywhere. Now my job is I am the goalie. The children come at me, I kick them back into play. Now the meetings are over, not because I see my wife, but because I hear all of upstairs going, Now here's the funny part. My wife comes downstairs with the broken stick, throws it on the table, sits down, and begins to talk out loud to nobody. Gonna tell me that you are not going to do something when I tell you to do something. I mean, you move when I say move. Think I carried you in my body for 9 months so you can roll your eyes at me, I'll roll that little head of yours down on the floor. You don't know who you're fooling with. I'll beat you until you can't grow anymore. Now, this woman graduated from college.
A woman came up to me at LaGuardia Airport some time ago and said, Robert Klein from television, would you do me a favor, take my little boy into the men's room with you if you're going in? Brought up a whole flash of memories, right? The kid is in that in-between time. At the age of 5, I could no longer go in a public place to the ladies' room with my mother. 5 is the cutoff date. Before it was open, what a cute little boy. After 5, miss, this is the ladies' room. Please, he's a young man. What are they going to do? You know, I mean, it's, what kind of minds do they have? If I had the moxie then to say, relax, lady, I'm 5. I'm essentially impotent. I really have no desire for you. If I were 17, I'd go, hey, look, a bathroom. I don't know. It's humiliating enough to be in here. You just go into my booth. You go into your booth. You know, it's very, but I didn't, I couldn't. I was smart, too, because at the age of 5, I wanted to be a cultural anthropologist. I had very little time. Of course, at the age of 22, I wanted to be a cowboy, so. Forget all the things I wanted to be at what age. It's not important. But I remember once we went to Madison Square Garden or something, my mother and sister, no man with us, I had to go to the bathroom, which in itself was bad. He's got to go to the bathroom, eh? He's got to go to the bathroom. It's amazing how you get a negative connotation. I wanted to please. I held it until my 15th birthday. He's got to go. Yes, I have to go. Sorry. So anyway, I couldn't go into the ladies' room, as I explained. My mother wouldn't let me go into the men's room by myself because she read the news every day and she knew there was a pervert waiting for me. Specifically behind the door, ready to pounce, you know. So our task was clear. We had to find a suitable strange man to take me into the men's room with him. So we stood in front of the men's room at Madison Square Garden. My mother held an audition. All right, line up, please. Is this for the men's room call? Okay. Grandfather types here, please. Professionals. I'm sorry, not wearing a tie. Move along, please. Nails too long. No, look, too obese. You, please. No, I'm sorry, you know. Nice man from the neighborhood, a lawyer, something, has 16 children, nice man, takes him by the hand, takes me into the men's room, closes the door and goes, hello, little boy, want to see something? Mother isn't always right.
Hello.
Hello, Arthur. This is your mother. Do you remember me?
Hi. Mom, hi, I was just going to call you. Is that a funny
Arthur,
thing? You know that I had my hand
Arthur,
on the phone
you were
to
supposed
call.
To call yeah. me last Friday.
Mother, darling, I just didn't have a second and
you
I could
didn't
cut
have
my
a
throat.
Second.
I was so busy.
Arthur, I sat by that phone all day Friday.
It was just work, and
all
darling,
day Friday night.
I kept thinking, I got to call Mom.
And all day Saturday.
Oh, listen, believe me.
And all day Sunday. And your father said to me, Phyllis, eat something, you'll faint.
Darling.
I said, no, Harry, no. I don't want my mouth to be full when my son called.
Mom.
He never called.
Mother, I was sending up Vanguard. I didn't have a second.
Well, it's always something, isn't it?
Okay, honey.
You know,
look,
Arthur,
no,
I'm sure that all the other scientists there have mothers, you know? And I'm sure that they all find time after their breakfast or before their count off
down
to pick up a phone and call their mother.
Honey, listen, now you have
and you
me
know
on the
how
phone.
I worry.
Well, I do, that's the point.
I read
that's
in the paper how you keep losing them.
Mother! I don't lose them.
Well, I nearly went out of my mind.
Okay, honey,
I thought,
now,
what if they're taking it out of his pay?
All right.
Write me a letter.
Right,
is that
it.
So hard?
Okay.
I'm
sorry.
Your mother.
Right, mother, look, darling, please,
I'll send
honey,
you
Mom,
stamps.
Dear,
it's
please,
so
don't. Just tell
letter.
Me how you
That's
are,
so
Mom.
Hard.
Tell me how you are. How are you?
I'm sick.
I'm sorry to hear it. I really am. What's wrong?
Nothing. You know what it is, honey.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
same thing it's always been.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
It's
yeah.
my nerves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I went to the doctor, and he told me
yeah.
right out.
Yeah.
He said,
yeah.
Listen, Mrs. White.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who
yeah.
are you fooling?
Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
are a
yeah.
very nervous,
yeah. Yeah.
very
yeah.
high-strung
yeah.
woman.
Yeah, yeah. Well, God knows that's true. Yeah.
And
yeah.
you cannot stand yeah. the slightest aggravation.
Well, yeah, sure,
well,
yeah.
I said, Doctor,
yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
I know that, too. I said, but you see, Doctor.
Uh-huh.
I have this son. And He is. You know, it's the truth. The boy is not lying. He is. He's very busy. You see, Doctor, he's too busy to pick up a phone and call his mother.
Honey, listen, Mom.
Well,
dear,
Arthur,
I want you to tell...
Well, Arthur, when I said that to him, that man turned pale.
Right. Dear, Mom.
He said, Mrs. White, Mom. I have been a doctor for 35 years,
right.
And I've never heard of a son too busy to call his mother.
Right. Mom, dear,
That's
listen,
That's just what he said to me, Arthur.
I know, honey,
And that man is a doctor.
Mom, Mother, please, dear. Will you just tell me, what did the doctor say they're going to do with you?
Well, I may be in the hospital for a while, so,
The hospital?
Yes, the hospital.
Well, but what are they going to do?
Well, they'll x-ray my nerves.
Mother, why didn't you let me know? All you had to do was drop...
I thought you were going to aggravate yourself.
Well,
I wouldn't have brought it out.
How can I not aggravate myself?
Don't, it's a little tiny... Nothing, forget it. How's your hangnail?
All right. Mother,
yes.
Please, just don't worry.
Arthur... What does that mean? Honey, what does that mean, don't worry?
Nothing, actually. I don't know. I just said the first thing that came into my head. It was a
Arthur,
mistake.
Arthur, listen to me. I'm a mother.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, you know. I should have realized,
you know,
and I didn't.
What's the use of talking,
no, it was a
you
mistake.
Know?
I'm sorry. No,
no, you're very young.
Well, I...
Someday, Arthur,
Mom.
You'll get married.
Mom?
And you'll have children of your own.
Mom.
And honey, when you do, I only pray that they make you suffer the way you're making me. That's all I pray, Arthur. That's a mother's prayer.
Okay, Mom, thanks for calling.
You're very sarcastic.
Mother, I'm doing my best. Now, you called me on the telephone. I tried to explain to you how...
Don't hit me. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry that I bothered you. And look, I hope I didn't make you feel bad.
Are you kidding? I feel awful.
Oh, honey, if I could believe that, I'd be the happiest mother in the world.
Oh, Mother, it's true. What do you think? I feel crummy.
Arthur, honey... Why don't you call me, sweetheart? Look, you know, Arthur, I know that I nag you, you know. Listen, I'm a nagging mother. What are you going to do? No, I'm kidding. Honey, you know, you're my baby. And Arthur, you're the only baby I've got. And honey, no matter how old you get, when you get to be 80 years old, you're going to be my baby, you know? And when you don't call me, sweetheart, I can't help it. I worry. So is that so hard to pick up a phone and call your mommy? Please, baby, please.
Yeah, well, I will, I promise.
You say it, and then you
really
promise.
Will, I promise.
Well, then you make your mommy so happy.
If mommy's happy, then he's happy. Okay, mommy.
And mommy wants to wish you lots of luck with your rocket.
Thank you, mommy.
And remember, Dad, I love you.
I love you too, mommy.
Goodbye, baby.
Goodbye, mommy. Nani, nuni, nani, nuni.
Now, may I have the next slide, please? Carried away there. It seems that most of the songs that you hear these days on the radio, played by the disc jockeys, apart from rock and roll and other children's records, tend to be motion picture title songs. Apparently producers feel that we will not attend their movies unless we have the titles well drilled into our heads in advance. Of course, we don't go anyway, but at least this way they make back on the song some of what they've lost on the picture. But with the rise of the motion picture title song, we have such hits of the past few years as The Ten Commandments, Mambo, and, Brothers Karamazov, Cha-Cha. Incredible Shrinking Man, I Love You. I'm sure you're all familiar with these, but a few years ago, a motion picture version appeared of Sophocles' immortal tragedy, Oedipus Rex. This picture played only in the so-called art theaters, and it was not a financial success. And I maintain that the reason it was not a financial success you're way ahead of me was that it did not have a title tune which the people could hum and which would make them actually eager to attend to this particular flick. So, I've attempted to supply this, and here then is the prospective title song from Oedipus Rex. From the Bible to the popular song, there's one theme that we find right along. Of all ideals they hail as good, the most sublime is motherhood. There was a man, though, who it seems once carried this ideal to extremes. He loved his mother and she loved him, and yet his story is rather grim. There once lived a man named Oedipus Rex. You may have heard about his odd complex. His name appears in Freud's index, 'cause he loved his mother. His rivals used to say quite a bit that as a monarch he was most unfit, but still in all they had to admit that he loved his mother. Yes, he loved his mother like no other. His daughter was his sister and his son was his brother. One thing on which you can depend is he sure knew who a boy's best friend is. When he found what he had done, he tore his eyes out one by one. A tragic end to a loyal son who loved his mother. So be sweet and kind to mother now and then, have a chat, buy her candy or some flowers or a brand new hat. But maybe you had better let it go at that. Or you may find yourself with a quite complex complex, and you may end up like Oedipus. I'd rather marry a duck-billed platypus than end up like old Oedipus Rex.
And there you go. That was, of course, Tom Lehrer, this time played from the CD that just came out of Tom Lehrer's albums. This one, An Evening Wasted with Tom Lehrer. And before that, we heard Mike Nichols and Elaine May, who still haven't come out on CD, Robert Klein, Bill Cosby, and we started off with David Brenner. And let's see what else is there to tell you. Next week, we will be listening to some very rare recordings of Bob and Ray, as brought in and explained by the Firesign Theater's Phil Proctor. And KCRW's Phil Proctor, by the way, too. And what else? Let's see. The address is Bob Claster, C-L-A-S-T-E-R, at KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. And I'd love to hear from you. So drop me a line and enclose a phone number so I can get a hold of you. The other thing to tell you is that this program is moving. This is the next to the last version of this program, which will air for a while at least at this time, and starting next month you'll be hearing me, if you're listening of course, on Sunday nights from 9 to 10, and I hope you will be listening, because I'll miss you if you're not. So that's about it. So until next week, this is your host Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.